And thank you very much. Well, today I want to talk to you about a little bit of an unpleasant subject, and that is giving. You say, I ain't got nothing to give. May not be proper grammar, but it's a proper statement. Well, I want to talk to you today, Mr. and Ms. Tucker, about the principle that God put in the Bible of sowing and reaping. Now, you know, I mentioned it some in the past, but we really don't talk about it very much because everybody's afraid of the thought of giving money. Well, I want to talk to you on a broader scope than that today. Of course, today, we know that trucking is a full-blown mess. I hope by the time some of you hear this CD that we're on cloud nine and everything's doing great. But right at the moment, right now while this is being taped in 2008, in August of 2008, it's not good. And we all feel the pinches of it. We all feel the consequences of it. I go on trips to the chapels in the motorhome and pay the outrageous prices for fuel. But you know, God knew all this when he created Adam and when he called us into the work we have. Now, he promised to provide all of our needs out of his glorious riches. In fact, you know, one of the most misused, thank you, Lord, we'll do that. One of the most misused scriptures in the Bible is Philippians 4:13. And you and I've quoted it 1,000 times. I know you probably have. And it says, and my God shall supply all your needs out of his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. And my God will meet, one version says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, notice one thing. The reason I said it's misused is people will stand on that, believe that, trust in that when they're not doing what God's word says to do. Now, in Philippians 4, for instance, if you'll back up, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, of course. The book of Philippians is to the Philippian people, of course. Paul is writing there, and if you'll back up in chapter 4, you'll find out that he says, well, 4:10, let me read that to you. Philippians 4:10 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Boy, we can identify with that. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, we quote that Philippians 4:13 a lot also. I can do everything or all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, one version said. Yet it was good of you to share in my trouble. Now, notice what right here. Notice this also. Yet it was good of you to share in my trouble. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Last three words in verse 15, except you only. In other words, this church at Philippi was his only financial supporter at the time. Now, drop on down to verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, why did I put that together? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because, you see, there's principles involved. The reason Paul told the church at Philippi that God would definitely meet all of their needs, would definitely supply all of their needs, was because they planted financially into his ministry. Now, they just gave Paul and took care of his need. You know, Paul also was a tent maker. He worked some also. But he also, in the early days, I remember when Truck Stop Ministry started, 1981, you know, nobody knew our name. Nobody didn't want to know our name. I still owned my own truck and basically financed the ministry out of that. You know, and I'm not saying that boasting. I did it because I wanted to. I didn't do it because I had to. I didn't feel guilty if I didn't. Listen, 1 Corinthians talks about that a little bit too. it talks about giving out of a cheerful heart. You know that? And we need to think about that. 2 Corinthians 9, where's it at? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, verse 7, each man should give what is decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, we don't do it because we have to. You know, after Jen and I got saved in 1971, we were born again in a little church in Middle Georgia. And as I began to study the Word and listen to, you know, radio programs all across everywhere I was driving my truck. Of course, back then it was just AM radio is all I had. And I would listen to various preachers, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying. I learned or heard or was taught that, you know, if you don't give it to God, he's going to take it. That's not necessarily true. Now, let me explain. In order to reap from a garden, you got to plant the garden. Right now, we go to a friend of ours. We got people in our church who are retired, and they have monster gardens. I mean, beautiful garden. Last Saturday morning, Jan and I was picking butter beans, man, butter peas. Oh, man, we got a big old watermelon. Some of our friends at church, he retired from GM. She retired from a bank. They've got a beautiful place, and see, they share. They got more than they could ever eat, and rather than see it dry up on the vine, they just say, hey, come get all you want. Come get it. So they're giving. They're planting. Well, if Freddie hadn't planted that garden, nobody would harvest nothing. Jimmy Brown, another friend of ours at church, got a gorgeous garden. We went from Freddie's place over to Jimmy's and Jean's place and got some corn and some okra, different things from over there, some figs off of their tree. What I'm saying is, now Jimmy and Freddie could have walked out there on their land and said, I'm just believing God for a bountiful harvest, you know. God supplies all of my needs. Back to Philippians 4. If they quoted that out of context, they'd have said, here's this beautiful garden spot, and God just going to give us all this wonderful vegetables and everything. I'm just believing by faith that God's just going to pour it on. You know, we're going to be blessed beyond anything we could ever think, hope, or imagine. The Bible says that. However, somebody has got to plant. I was born and raised on the farm, so we had a garden by necessity. I'd have one now if Jan and I was home long enough to tend it. So we get the benefit of somebody else's. Now, you and I reap things that somebody else sowed. We've reaped some to where out of other people's gardens in more ways than one. Now, let's go back to our 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Remember, said, you reap according to what you sow, of course. That makes sense. You got a big garden? You reap a lot. You put in a little bit. You know, and I think of butter beans. I wrote a little track called Back to the Butter Bean Patch, and that's about as simple as it gets. You know, of course, I have to do it that way. That's the only way I understand it. But, you know, I think of the butter bean because I guess because we've been picking them lately and putting them in the freezer here at home. And you know, we'd stick some in the freezer in the motorhome, take them with us. I love garden vegetables, man, and tomatoes, and on and on and on we could go. But, you know, I think of this butter bean. Now, you take, in the springtime, you got a handful of dry beans, all right? Now, you can do one or two things. You could put them beans in water and soak them and actually cook them and eat them. I remember I was raised on lima beans, man. We had lima beans and rice one day, and then rice and lima beans the next day. My mama, bless her heart, we had it tough. She had it real bad. Daddy died when I was 3. She had 6 boys to raise. But you know what? She always put God first. And growing up, I remember things of seeing her giving and planning. And I'm thinking, Mama, we don't have that much ourselves. But you know what? We always had enough. We always, all of our needs were met. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes my idea of my need and God's idea of my need are entirely different. You know, it's kind of like the children. They don't mind coming and saying what all they need and what all they, and most of the time it's just what I want. But we need to reap bountifully in this day and time because everything's going through the roof. All the costs. And you know, Jimmy Davis is on Davis Express out of Florida. Is on our board of directors, and I use his name because he makes a stand for God. He said one time way back years ago, when times were tough, he said we shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to giving because when times get tough, we slow down giving and we slow down planting, so that automatically slows down our harvest. You know, and I thought about that, and that's about right. Now times are extremely tough for all of us. All of us. Everybody's in trucking, I should say. But let me tell you something, Mr. Trucker, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, and if you're married and on the road and running together, hey, you need to come into agreement about this. I had an owner-operator one time that, because of this next thing we're about to read here, come into play. His wife, who handled a checkbook, basically said she didn't believe in giving at all. And he told me, he said, I'm going to give you cash every week out of our settlement. I'm going to tithe the Truck Stop Ministries cash so she won't know it. And at the end of the year, now listen to this faith. Listen to this statement of faith he made. He said, next year this time, we're going to sit down with our books and I will be able to show her what God has done through our giving. Now that's faith, brother. That's faith. And every week, every time I saw him, he would give cash money to Truck Stop Ministries. We kept a record of it, of course. And the next year, they were way ahead financially. Way, it was growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, you know, God just blessed them supernaturally. Owner-operator, one truck, one trailer. They wound up with their own authority. Run the West Coast for 19 consecutive years. Got phenomenal wear on their tires. I've mentioned about Fisherman. He's one that's out there right now you can run it with. Talk about mileage on tires. That's one of the ways that God gives it back, you see. He blesses us according to what we give. And again, verse 7 said, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I started to tell you when we first got saved, I had heard all this baloney stuff about God taking it. I've heard preachers say, if you don't give it to the Lord, he'll have a mechanic collect it. Your car will break down. Well, you know, those things happen because we violated God's principles, not because God reached down out of heaven and slapped you side of the head and do something. But if you violate his rules, so to speak, his principles, that's going to happen. But at the same time, I gave, so because of that, I gave, I wrote that tithe check, man, you know, if we drawed $100, get a check for $10 to the church before God hits me side the head with something. In other words, I was not giving cheerfully like this verse says here in 2 Corinthians 9:9-7. I was giving because I was afraid not to. Now, Jan and I was reaping from that because we were given, but we did not reap bountifully, and I was to learn later on as I studied God's word for myself, got in and began to digging and run upon scripture like this where he says, each man or each person, you ladies, this is you too, each person should give what he decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I heard at one church, and he'll also take it from grouches. You know, but I want you to be blessed, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Now, couple verse 8 onto that. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now listen, notice something. As I mentioned in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs. no thought starts with and. That's a continuation from before. And because we studied there and we talked about it a while ago, that Paul told the Philippian people that they would be blessed of God because they had given into his ministry. That's why he said that. And here Paul writing again to the church at Corinth, to the Corinthian people, and he says this. He said, you decide in your heart what to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 8 starts out, and, in other words, if you do the above, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So, the ball's in our court, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We have to do something first. Salvation is free. You can't earn that. You can't pay for it. You can't buy it. There's not one inch of real estate in heaven for sale. I'm telling you. Salvation is free. But now, from that point, we need to start growing. The last couple of weeks on Heaven's Road, I was talking about growing up in the Lord, growing in your faith. You know, you don't work to get saved. You work because you are saved. In other words, I want to go around and plant good things in people's lives everywhere I go. You know, and oftentimes I'm asked at cashiers or whatever, how are you? And I love to respond, I say, wonderful. And when I say, wonderful, they look at you like, are you crazy? Well, yes, I am. In fact, I'm a little bit off. No, I'm way off. Yes, I know it. A lot of you know me, and I'm way off, and I intend to get further off from the so-called, what the world calls normal, because I want to be a cheerful giver. I want to plant into people's lives joy and peace and happiness and contentment. You see, not only money involved here when we talk about sowing and reaping, finances, yes, but every aspect of your life, every area of your life is governed by this principle called planting and reaping. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be poured into your bosom or into your lap. Give and it, notice that word it in Luke 6:38. It, meaning whatever you give. And again, we're not passing the plate here. I just want to teach you an important principle because I just feel an urgency in these tough times, that we don't violate God's principle and quit giving to God. You don't have to give it to Truck Stop Ministries necessarily, but find a ministry, find a church that's doing things for God. Because again, we got to find fertile soil, just like back on the farm. We prepared the soil, man. We picked the most fertile place to plant the garden because we needed a bountiful harvest. We had to have that harvest so we could live through the winter. I mean, you know, just like now, Jan and I are picking these butter beans and corn and peas and stuff, and we are putting them in the freezer for later on when there's none available. Man, I already look forward to it. I want to go to it right now and get it. Well, we're putting it away. Well, we plant into people's lives knowing we're going to have it for later on. You know, there's a great story in the New Testament, in Matthew, in fact. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told a parable about the sower. The sower. Now, you know that by heart. You've heard it many times. It said a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. In other words, they were planted in very shallow soil, rocky places. The dirt wasn't good there. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the explanation of that parable is, it says, you know, that when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. In other words, what this whole thing about here is, I want to mention to you today, is finding that fertile soil. It said some, verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. When we first started out, I feel like we were probably harvesting a 30-fold or 30 times harvest. Now, I'm greedy. I want all I can get. No, I'm not greedy, but I want to get more so I can give more, so I get more so I can give more. You understand? It's a cycle, and as long as that's our attitude, and God knows our heart. He knows my heart. He knows what I'm thinking and why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. Yes, he does. He knows where I'm going from this moment on. I don't. I got plans for the day. But, you know, God knows our heart. He knows our motivation. And as long as our motivation is pure and holy, and as long as our motivation is to further his kingdom, we're going to be blessed because he can trust us with it. I have friends that's worth millions of dollars, and you wouldn't know it to be around them because God can bless them with it because they just handle it and funnel it out to wherever God tells them to put it. You know, you and I, we may not have that kind of money in the bank, but what we have, see, he's going to supply all of our needs at his glorious riches. Now, one other thing I want to say about this sower before we get away from it, Matthew 13 again. Read this whole story sometime. It's quite lengthy, so I won't read it all today. But Matthew 13, beginning of verse 1 through about verse 23. Now, one thing I want to point out is, if you notice in the story, the sower never looked back. He didn't look back at harvest because, I'll tell you why. Why I know that. In the beginning, it said he was scattering the seed. Some fell on the path and the birds ate it up. He could have looked back at that and said, what's the use? I just quit. Ain't getting nowhere. Ain't never going to have a harvest because the birds are eating it as fast as I put it out. And then it says some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But, in other words, here's the guy looking for a microwave answer. Here's the person wanting immediate results. But when the sun came up, it said the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. They were not grounded. They were not strong enough because the soil was so shallow. You see, and then some fell into thorns and grew up and choked the plant. But others fell on good soil. What am I saying? What I'm trying to tell you is just keep on sowing. Don't worry about results. Don't worry about this, that, or other. If God leads you to plant into a ministry, hold them accountable by all means. Yes, indeed. If we donate to somebody, we're partnering some with a trucking ministry in Africa, trying to help them over there. And instead of it becoming part of us, we just want to sow into their ministry. But I get reports from over there. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know that our money, our seed, is being planted in fertile soil because I expect a harvest. And back to 2 Corinthians 9 where we were reading, I'm going to do it cheerfully so that I can expect it to come back. And then I can know that all of my needs are going to be met. Why? Because I've been sowing financially. My financial needs are going to be met. Well, that's only the beginning. What about joy? What about peace? What about encouragement? I like to encourage people. I like to tell you God is working a plan in your life. Just hang in there. Hang tough. I talked to an owner-operator the other day, and he's exactly where I was at in 1979, doing everything I knew to do, and it still looked like it was going south. I mean, you know, the old saying goes, I was under such an attack from the enemy that I thought maybe Murphy's Law was true. If it can go wrong, it is. You know, but that was an attack from the enemy, and that's going to happen too, Mr. and Ms. Tucker. He's going to attack. If you start witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you start ministering, and all of us are called to do that. Yes, we are. Everyone's called to minister in some fashion, in some way. Some is just by being nice. You can minister to people by giving them a smile. It blesses me when I walk by somebody and they smile, because not much to smile about these days. People say, but yes, there is. We got a lot to be thankful for. We got our health. I know people in our church also now, they're in hospitals and different places. Some are young. Some are young and their health is gone. And I think, my God, you know, I'm not thankful for my health. I thank God that I can get out and walk. I can get out and talk. I can even walk and talk at the same time. I mean, I can chew gum and talk, but I can walk and talk to God. Love to get out in the morning, and wherever I'm at, if I'm at a truck stop, I get out and walk around the truck stop parking lot a couple or three times, depending on how big it is, walk for several minutes, loosening up my legs and just getting exercise and talking to my Heavenly Father. And then that gets me prepared to sow into people's lives that day. Financially, I'm going to do that out of the checkbook into ministries that God has led us to. And Jan and I do that. You know, I want to make sure the church I go to is fertile soil so I can plant into there and expect results. Now, the reason I'm expecting results, remember this now, it's very, very important that you know the motivation is right. The reason I expect results is so I can have more to sow with later on, not more to hoard up. You see, because as long as I'm sowing, as long as I'm giving, as long as I'm doing as God leads me to do, where He leads me to do, how He leads me to do, to whom He leads me to do, I'm going to be covered automatically. I don't have to worry about it. Just like the sower, you know, he never looked back. He was sent out to sow. Now, I know this is a parable, but there's things we need to learn from it. He was sent out to sow, and he just went and sowed his seed, not worrying about anything about what's going to happen to it. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, God leads you to plant into a ministry or church, plant it, whatever that amount is. Don't worry about the percentages. Yes, the word tithe means tenth. We know that. We know that the Bible teaches a lot about it in the Old Testament, primarily about tithing, but over in the New Testament, he talks about giving. He talks about planting. He talks about sowing. So the principle, the principle overlaps. It comes on over into the New Testament. Now, question is, where are you today? You see, what is coming out from you? What are you sowing into people's life? Matthew also teaches us that whatever we put in our heart comes out of our mouth. Matthew 12:34, I believe it is. It says, out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you see, when you're speaking venomous words, when you're speaking hate, discontent, and all that, it's because it's been stored up in your heart. We hear all this garbage all the time, everywhere we go. It's on radio. Now there seems to be no governing of what people say on radio and TV. I'm appalled. I'm shocked at what's allowed, the indecency that's allowed on the airwaves today. I guess the FCC has just given up. But we don't give up. And I hear Christians more and more saying they turn the CB off. Well, don't do that. Pray. When you get up in the morning or in the evening or whenever you start your day, pray and ask God to give you something to share. Again, planting joy into somebody's life. You don't retaliate against them. You don't plant evil for evil. You plant good into their life and say, I'm sorry you're having such a bad day. I'm sorry that everything may be wrong in your life, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you and he can work it out if you'll just let him. Now, that might sound like it starts World War III, but the Bible tells me that if that goes into that person's heart, and it will fall on good ground. You see, we keep witnessing. You may be planting into an area where somebody else has already started. You may be cultivating what somebody else has already planted. You may be planting, but it's not our job to grow it, you see. We are the sower, we're not the grower. God Almighty is the grower. The Holy Spirit will do his work, but he wants us to plant. Now again, understand, it's peace, joy, happiness, hate, discontent, anything that you plant, you're going to reap. And again, finances. I guess because in this day and time we live in, things are so tough. Things are so hard. The world's in a mess, you know, and it's just bad times. So we think of money. And again, that's when we usually quit giving. Same thing with joy. When things are down, when we're not having a good day, walk around in the mully grubs, you know. I see that a lot of times. I stand at the truck stop door when I'm home here in Jackson, or maybe on the road somewhere. I'll just stand there and open the door for people sometimes and say, good morning. How are you? Good evening. Whatever the case is, you know. And sometimes they just bite back. Rawr. But you know what, Mr. Miss Trucker? That might be me next time. I might be need to encourage it. So I want to be an encourager. I want to bless people. I want to give into their life. Now, let me tell you something else about giving money. Be careful where you give it. The people on the road that's living off of you, be careful about that, because you put seed in non-fertile soil, it's going to be like this sower. It's going to die. If you want response, if you want results, I should say, then find a fertile place to plant, as I said before. And the person on the road that you meet with the cup out saying, we'll work for food, number one, he probably won't. But what they need, if they need food, then go buy them a hamburger. Go buy them a hamburger and a Coke or whatever. Give them food. Don't give them money. They don't need money. They need a good word from you, a word of encouragement, and a hamburger or whatever. They need something to eat. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Never once did he say you brought me a bunch of money. You know, but that's our easy way out. We just throw money in cups and feel justified about it. We feel like we're doing some good, when in fact, what we really should do is give that person a little bit of our time. Well, I don't have any time. Well, one reason you don't have time is because you're not giving time. Yes, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it works. Trust me, it works. Try a little kindness. Remember that old song? I think Glenn Campbell did. Try a little kindness, and you'll notice what comes into your life. One reason you're right now listening to this CD, right now listening to this recording, your life is totally in shambles. Your life is upside down, or it's sliding that way real fast. If you'll notice what your actions are like, notice what your attitude is like, you're reaping exactly what you sow. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, we will reap exactly what we sow. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, I ask you today, consider what you want in life. What do you want out of life? Do you want peace and joy and happiness? I do. Do you want to be blessed bountifully? I do. I want to be blessed so I can bless others. You know, I've said this many times, if I'm sitting beside the road and I've got a flat tire on my truck, and you come along and cause, you don't plant, you're not being blessed, you got 18 slick tires and no spare, what can you do for me? Well, I'll be praying for you, brother. I need a tire. I need a tire. And I pulled it out of the rack and gave it to people before and kept going. No, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, because it comes back. It comes back. Old Gravedigger was in our truck one time, coming around Fort Worth out there somewhere, and blew a tire. And a guy stopped with him and gave him a tire. He returned it, man. Of course, when he got home, we got in touch with him. I tried to pay him for that tire. He said, no way. No way. You see, it all comes back around in due time. In due time. Now, we can't give peace, joy, happiness, money, whatever, and look for the results immediately. Remember the sower? He just kept on sowing. You know, you might be kind to somebody and they bite your head off. You might do them a favor and they stick you in the back. That's their problem. That's their problem, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. You did it as unto the Lord. And that's what you and I are told to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We do it as unto the Lord and depend on the Lord for our result. So, all back together now. Number one as being born again. God gave his only son. John 3:16, wow. Jesus gave his very life so you could have life. He planted his life into us. Become born again. Call the Truckers Prayer Line 24 hours a day, and someone will answer it. If you get the machine, please leave a message, because that means they're on the other line. And we can only answer one at a time in the evening. 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, is the best time to call, because there's several can answer the phone at one time. But first of all, become born again. Number two, learn to give. Pick up our track somewhere, back to the Butterbean Patch. Just get that. It's a very simple little track. It's in just about all of our truck stops, all of our chapels. They should have some of them. Or come by the office. We'll give you a handful of them. Back to the Butterbean Patch. But number one, become born again, please, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Give your life to Jesus. He can start to work on it, straighten out all the problems that you have. And it takes time, but he'll do it. Number two, learn to plant. Learn to sow. Learn to sow what you want to reap. In other words, we sow it by faith, expecting to reap. The butter beans, the peas, the corn, and all that that Janet I have in the freezer right now come because somebody went out and sowed. We sow what we have to sow, then God brings it back to us, whatever we need. And remember, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But it didn't start with the and. It started with planting. So today, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, I pray this has been a blessing to you. I pray it's been a learning experience. I pray that I say something controversial. And the reason I say controversial, I hope it causes you to study the Word of God and see if it isn't true. And don't mind calling me. And if you want all the scriptures, email me. Email me. I'll send you the scriptures on it. That's the easiest way to get it, is email me at joe@truckstopministry.org. Simple as that. joe@truckstopministries.org. It'll come to my cell phone 24 hours a day, and I'll send you scripture back relating to this. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry. Thank you for all of those who are sowing into this ministry. And I pray you're being blessed bountifully for it. We've got a lot of testimonies. We're stepping out in faith. We're working on our new property. We're going to have our offices here in Jackson, Georgia at last. In the 28th year of our ministry, we finally get to build an office. So we're excited about that. We're excited about you. If there's anything we can do for you, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, or your family at home, please call us. We're here to serve you. May God richly bless you today is my prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now for everyone listening, every driver listening to this CD, this teaching today, that are sinking to their heart and bear witness with your spirit that lives in them if they're born again. If they're not, I pray they'll become born again before this day is over. Thank you, Father, for all your goodness, your love, your grace, and your mercy that you show towards us every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See you down the road, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We'll see you here, there, or in the air. Thank you for listening.